welcome Mr. Michael Johnson, who's willing to be with you, so just hold on, he will be with you very shortly, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Kevin Wilson, 267-404.
Okay, Mr. Wilson, I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your hearing lead this morning. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Corrections as well as the parole office, is Mr. Turner. And I believe you can see Mr. Turner up on the screen now.
Yes.
Okay. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and you signed a notification form that informed you about having this board hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay. Sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
I do.
Okay, sir. Your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate. I'm sorry. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out with phase one, sir. You have one allegation on your mind, Mr. Wilson. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So the allegation number one states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about September 27, 2018, as verbally written directed on September 12, 2018, says that your whereabouts are unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay, thank you, sir. All right, then, well, based on the admission of Mr. Wilson, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have
violated the reasons.
What's
the reason, sir?
Okay, we'll discuss that in phase two again, okay?
Okay.
All right. That he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright. Okay. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from Mr. Turner. Then I'll go over some information with you in the warrant, sir, see if the board has any additional questions, and give you the opportunity to present whatever information that's relevant to this case to the board at that time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Wilson was released from ADC custody on 12/26/2017 and arrested on 11/2/2018 by the Arizona Department of Correction Fugitive Apprehension Unit along with the United States Marshal Service. No new charges are noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 11/2/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 131/2019 with 36 abscondes. Current conviction, 2011, aggravated assault, 7 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in the ADC with a CUIR score of 4.4, mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 1. STD information, self-admitted to being a member of the criminal street gang Blue East Side Crips. No prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is moderate with aggravated assault, forgery, and conspiracy noted. Other arrests, 1985, theft, Ohio, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 1985, kidnapping, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1985, rape, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1985, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1992, robbery, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1997, robbery, Arizona federal prison. He has a GD score of G6, V6. He is a level 3 sex offender that is registrable, notifiable, and SVP reviewable.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carter. Okay, Mr. Wilson, I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside with your wife, Ms. Yvonne Wilson, at 419 East Navajo Street, apartment number 3 in Tucson, Arizona. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
Were you still staying there at the time that you were arrested?
No, we had moved and just had bought a house, in the process of buying a house.
Okay. Where were you at when you were, where were you at when you got arrested by ADC?
I was at my father-in-law's house when I was arrested by ADC. Just recently released from the hospital.
What were you in the hospital for?
I'm SMI. At first, I had an episode and they thought I was in because I had a paranoid schizophrenic attack. Uh-huh. And they come to find out from the doctor that I actually had a traumatic brain injury because I was hitting the head of a rock.
So how long have you been out of the hospital, sir?
I was in the hospital for 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
And I don't actually recall what day I got out of the hospital because with me getting hit in the head with the rock, when the knot on the back of my head swells, it presses against a nerve on my brain. And I go into an episode to where I'm in fight or flight mode because I'm not aware of what's going on around me or none of that.
So where'd you get hit?
I was able to rise a total of 8 times, about 8 times during the course of my parole.
So where are you at, where and how'd you wind up getting hit in the head with a lock? Did you say a lock or a rock?
A combination lock. In 2012, it was a prison disturbance, and I was hit in the back of the head with a rock.
So, you wasn't working during that period of time then?
I was receiving disability.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go through some of your program. It looks like you have a long list of it here. I'm going to read through some of it. Sir, it says that on December 26th, you were enrolled in the Motivational Educational Program, and then on January 10th, PO advised offender was enrolled and completed initial intake with the CAP program. It looks like on March 7th, reports that you attended services through the Kodak Behavioral Health Services. It says offenders classes have been rescheduled for anger management due to location change. And it says that you continue to do psychiatric counseling with Dr. Hess. Next appointment was on April 10th. It says you currently that you were currently on medication. You took 2 medications. Was this Wilburton and Circle?
Circle.
Yeah. You attend regular recovery classes at PRC with Sherry, and then looks like on April 6th, reports that you got engaged in services through Kodak Behavioral Health Services. You attend anger management once a week and an individual counseling twice a month. Says that offender reports still on following medications that you were taking, that you were still reporting to PRC for counseling with Sherry once a week. And it looks like on May 9th, you admitted you had an episode of schizophrenia. Then a few days later, you had another episode, and then CRC was contacted. Officers were sent out to you. It says that you threw an ashtray at the window. A recommendation from CRC was not taking medication, so they made an appointment for you to see Kodak. A few days later, you went back to CRC, and then you reported that the doctor told you that the heat. The doctor told you that the heat hitting upside of your head with the heat and being hit upside the head with the lock and dehydration was the trigger that caused you a problem. Since your medications have been changed, then on May 31st, you reported to continue services through Kodak. On July 11th, you reported offenders enrolled at Kodak, but now does not have access due to wife working. So I guess his wife was working and cut you off of access. His offender is not programming at the time due to medical issue. Offender is recently under pre-ops and scope work on the bump on the head, waiting on a diagnosis. Now offender is under doctor's care to rest, not stress. Now that the medical insurance counseled 2 weeks ago, he is stuck in a hard situation on what to do next. It looks like on July 25th or 18th, you stated you will re-engage in MRT classes with Sherry and will re-engage with Kodak services. Reports that took all your medication and receiving injections every 30 days. Offender still working on getting his medical issues resolved. Does not want to do surgery regarding the lump on the head. Not sure what to expect on the outcome. Says that you wanted to see how injections work out for him first. Starting to see his episodes. It looks like, sir, you were going through, as you said, quite a bit of medical issues, and that it appears that you were following through with your medication and taking your medication.
I didn't want to have a surgery while I was on parole because I didn't want it to interfere with my parole. It ended up interfering anyway.
I want to look at some of your sentences. On January 26th, court date 116, no sample collected. Offender was directed to drop the day at task due to offender's reporting he lost his cell phone and was worried about not calling. The task protocol says task results dated February 22nd. He provided the sample results were negative. It looks like on March 7th, you reported and just got a phone since that past Saturday and has not been advised to drop off. You will continue to call task on a daily basis and accordingly. On March 21st, reports to task as directed. On March 15th, provided specimen however was unable to urinate enough for testing. Then advised to report to task. Urine at least negative per task report dated on May 15th. Results were negative. You were directed on 531. Looks like you missed your last color day on May 15th. And then it says per task report date on 6/21, June 21st, your test results were negative. Offender calling in daily and yet to drop this month. Offender says that you were in compliance. You tested positive for amphetamines on July 6th.
Because when I was in the hospital being tested, I was giving me Adderall to see why, and some of the misses were because I was in the hospital and I couldn't go to drop because at the time I was in the hospital.
So you saying that the medication that you got in the hospital was why you had a positive for amphetamine?
Yeah, it was Adderall. Adderall is basically a legal amphetamine, and they was trying to balance me out to find out why I was having so many episodes in that amount of time.
Okay, it says that you denied any illegal drug use, stated that you called daily but not asked to drop as of yet per your PO. You will submit GCMS results on July 25th testing. He has been calling to drop and has not been required to offend the director to drop today. Offender denies any drug use per the test dated September 25th of the you were required to test. And that was pretty much it. So what was the problem? It looks like you did miss a couple of times, or you were required to test. So what was the issue?
Every time that I missed, it was because I was in the hospital. Like I said, if you notice through the reports, I was in the hospital at least 8 times during my time. In my 10 or 11 months out, I was in the hospital at least 8 times. Each time that I was in the hospital, my wife called my PO and notified her that I was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Even my PO noted in the warrant for arrest that I couldn't report due to the incident of me being in the hospital.
Well, it looks like, here I'm looking at a letter that was sent to 419 East Navajo Road in Tucson. The letter.
And that letter never got received because they didn't have an apartment number on it. So we never received that letter.
I don't know if it doesn't have an apartment number on the letter, but it could have an apartment number on the envelope. I don't know. Let me just look through this. And the PO could have left it off at the house, too. And let me just stop there. I'm going to go. Mr. Turner, was this letter mailed or was it?
I believe this one was mailed, sir.
My wife had notified the PO that she never, because the PO had told my wife she mailed the letter. My wife even told her we never got it. And once I got this packet, I noticed it was never even an apartment number on it.
Okay.
So that's probably why we never received it.
Okay, well, it says September 12th, you were seen at your parole office. And on that same day, you were verbally directed to report back to the office. On September 27th, and says on September 27th, you failed to report to the parole office as verbally directed, and that you.
I was admitted to the hospital on like September the 22nd. September the 23rd is when I went to the hospital, and I stayed in the hospital for 3.5 weeks.
So
to reach Memorial Hospital.
So do you have any documentation, or did you give any documentation to your PO?
My wife had the release paperwork that I received from the hospital, my wife had, and at that time, like I said, we was in the process of moving, because we had bought a house and we was in the process of moving. Since I came back to DOC and they served me, they issued me with the warrant, they asked me, the parole officer said that anybody that I needed to call to verify for witnesses for me to write out a paper saying who I needed you guys to call to verify that I was in the hospital, and I wrote that out and turned it into my CO4 here, saying that I needed them to contact Phoenix Memorial Hospital to show that I was in the hospital, and that's why I couldn't report.
Okay.
And the parole actually even states in the warrant for my arrest that I couldn't report due to the incident of me being in the hospital.
Okay, well, I'm looking at a follow-up note that's in the warrant, sir. And the PO had contacted all local hospitals in Pima County Jail.
I was in Phoenix. I got transferred from Pima County. They transferred me to Phoenix Memorial Hospital.
Okay, so I see you may have been transferred, but I also see in here, sir, that says that on September 27th, which is the day that you were supposed to report, the PO received a text message from your wife, Yvonne, indicating that you guys missed your report date due to the stress of purchasing a new home, and everything in life is thrown at us right now. Said that you were going to have another episode that's currently in the hospital in Phoenix. He sent a text advising your wife for you to report on October 3rd. And on October 3rd, he attempted to contact you at a number left a voice message and you did not report that day, then they mailed a letter to you on, looks like on October 11th, your wife returned a phone call regarding your status, and she stated that you had been in the hospital for 3 weeks at Phoenix Memorial due to symptoms related to traumatic brain injury and mental health episode due to PTSD, bipolar. I'm going to see Mr. Turner, the parole officer, had some additional information.
Yes, sir. After missing the original appointment, his wife was contacted by phone and given another report date of 10/24 between 9 and 3 p.m., which he did not make. There was another letter dropped off, but it doesn't indicate whether it was at the residence. It says residence on Halloween for him to report on 11/1. And then on 11/1, Pio Nuno received a return phone call from the offender's wife, which they would have gotten that letter then. It indicated the offender was not home at the moment and she had went to the store. Pio Nuno advised the wife that the offender had a warrant for his arrest due to failing to report on 10/24. Wife was advised if the offender wanted to quash the warrant, he is to turn himself in at PRC and speak with Supervisor Settles on 11/1. Wife stated she would relay the message to the offender.
Exactly what he said is correct. My wife spoke to PO on 11/1. But again, when this knot on the back of my head swells, it puts pressure on my brain. And I can't discern reality from what's not reality until the pressure on that goes down. And by the time when my wife gave me that information about that on 10/1, I took my medication and I fell asleep the next morning at 10:30, Marshall was there to get me.
Okay, sir, so it says your wife says you was in the hospital. It doesn't say that there was ever any information or report that we got in to say that you were in the hospital. It's obvious that you had some mind, that you're having some issues that you have been going through, and that a Memorial Hospital is a place where they do intake for SMI. I'm not sure that they keep them there for 3 weeks before they send them out to another location. That's just an intake facility.
I was here for 3 weeks. Like I said, I went to the CRC. I started at the CRC in Tucson, and I was transferred because of the traumatic brain injury. They wanted to get the scopes and the MRIs or whatever they do to find out what was going on with my brain. Mm-hmm. And the doctor told me that the symptoms of traumatic brain injury and paranoid schizophrenia is almost identical to each other. That's the only reason why I didn't report is because of my hospital stay. Other than that, I was on the floor for 11 months doing everything that I was supposed to do. Why would I wait 27 days before I get ready to be out for it to start messing up? Because I was supposed to get out for it on December the 26th.
Okay, Mr. Wilson, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. I see the board has no additional questions for you. So we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board reference this case before
you leave? The only thing I want to say is that I hope I get paralyzed for looking after my health. I didn't get the surgery because I didn't want to get into my career, but it ended up my health condition didn't interfere with my career anyway. The only reason why I didn't report is because I was in the hospital. And when this knot on my head swells, until the swelling comes down, I can't think coherently.
Okay, Mr. Wilson, the board's going to go into discussion, sir. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone, however I need you to remain silent so that you can hear the discussion taking place, okay? After the board concludes our discussion, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision, and I'll get back with you and discuss that decision with you, sir, okay? The board is now going into discussion. It is evident that Mr. Wilson is SMI, that he's having some mental issues, that he has surgery, kind of substantiates his story about being in the hospital. His wife did tell the PO that he was in the hospital, I believe, and here it says 2.5 weeks or for a period of time. It says that he was transferred from Tucson to Phoenix because of some brain injuries that he had gotten hit in the head with a combination lock while he was in prison, and it caused him some problems. He says that he did miss some days, and says when he has the swelling in his head that it does cause him some problems, and he just don't think rational during that period of time. I think in this particular incident, I think Mr. Wilson's been honest, definitely has some SMI issues. He was doing all this counseling. He was going to counseling services. He's been enrolled in counseling services. He was taking medication for his SMI, and I think he did have some medical issues because of you know, what's in the report and some substantial information that he has SMI issue and in and out of the hospital, and he's been in several programs that he's also been into. The doctor told him that the heat hitting upside his head and the lack of dehydration is what was one of his triggers. They changed his medications as a result of it, but just based on the medical issues and the information and medication that he was actually taking, the fact that he was transferred from Tucson to Phoenix at Memorial Hospital, where they do have a mental health clinic there, I am more apt to put Mr. Wilson back on community supervision, to continue him on his community supervision in hopes that he could continue to take his medical treatment for SMI. He did have, he did take some of his UAs, which came back negative. The one UA that came back with amphetamine, he said was, I like to say to call it Adderall, that he was taking, which was the result of why he came back, but he didn't have any other negatives. He just had some that he missed. But you know, there's a history where he was SMI, he was going to the programming, he was involved in different programs that he actually continued to do. He went through a period of time where he lost his access because his wife was working, and I think there's about a 2-week period of time that he went through that. And Mr. Wilson says he needs to have some surgery. However, he wants to wait until he completes his parole so it wouldn't interfere with that. And he is right that he actually was released. This information, and that there is some substantial information to verify that he definitely was SMI and definitely having some medical issues during that period of time. I'm going to believe that he should be discontinued on his community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues.
Ms. Mr. Rittenhouse. Johnson, can we go to a discussion so I can ask Mr. Wilson something?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
About how long has it been since you got hit on the head with the lock? That wouldn't have been.
I got hit upside the head with the lock in 2012.
And had you been, you mentioned earlier that a doctor told you that the symptoms or the behaviors are similar between schizophrenia and a traumatic brain injury, right?
Yes.
And how had you been diagnosed as SMI before 2012?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so you already had the SMI diagnosis.
I already had the SMI diagnosis.
Okay, but then you
got hit upside.
Then you got hit upside.
Right, then when I got hit upside the head, I was knocked out. They said for about 10 minutes. And I don't know if that's, doctors tell me that's not normal for a person to be out that long.
Okay, and that's what made this lump on your head that kind of kind of swells up and then it shrinks again. And
yeah, I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, yeah, we see it.
Through the screen.
Yep.
But that was not on the back of my head.
Yep. See it right there.
I was great to it.
Yep. Okay, sir, thank you.
And it swells with pressures on my brain.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board will be back in discussion then.
Okay.
So, Mr. Johnson, I agree. It looks like he. You can see it there,
yeah.
So.
Any other stuff? All right, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to continue Mr. Wilson on his community supervision with the same conditions that he actually has now. And that's going to be my motion.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed. Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Wright.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Sir, the board is voting to continue on your community supervision with the same conditions that you had prior to being arrested. So. You will be released back out. It's going to take a period of time for it to be out. And either way, so you do have a release date of January 31st of 2019, which is about a month and a half away from now. That is your end release date. But you will be, we have voted to continue on your community supervision, sir. And so by all means, try to make sure that you make it clear with your PO and the contact that you have with your PO on what's exactly going on in the communication with your wife, although I do see that there is some communication with your wife, as you say, that kind of substantiate the information. But that's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Wilson. Thank you for
it. I got one question, sir.
Yes, sir.
Will my release date still be, will my CLCD date still be 12/26, or will it be 1/31?
No, no, sir. Your earned release credit date will be January 31st of 2019, sir.
So it won't be 12/26 again?
No, sir.
Okay. Okay.
All right, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing again. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for participating in your hearing today.
All right, thank you.
Please put the 03 back on the phone.